one isn't my memory, it's Diana's memory. When Marlene, our daughter, when she was about first grade, she very serious, very concerned, approached Diana quietly and said, "Mom, did you know that Dad is shorter than you?" She was so concerned because she was in school now. She saw the other parents. The dad's always, all the movies she'd seen, you know, in a couple, it's always the guy that's taller, you know. And obviously I wasn't. And she was very concerned, thought there was something wrong with me. And don't tell Dad that he's shorter than you so he won't know, you know. And it just like, it was just so, you know. So yeah, you know, the truth is I'm shorter than just about everybody on the planet, you know. It just... That's the way that goes, you know, which sometimes, you know, it can be awkward sometimes. For example, it can be awkward for a short man to dance with a tall woman. That can be awkward. But there was this one time, Diana and I had just gotten married, not the day of the wedding, but shortly after we were married. We were still living in Louisville. We went downtown to the Phoenix Hill Tavern. Now there was no band, there was no DJ, but they had music playing and they had a small dance floor and some people were dancing, and I know Diana likes to dance, and so I asked Diana, "Would you like to dance?" And she said yes. So we went out on the dance floor. What? You weren't even there, you have no idea, all right? And we danced. And it was a transfiguring moment. I did not become taller. My sense of rhythm wasn't any better. My dance moves were still lame, but the moment was transfiguring. And when we left the dance floor, a man who we did not know approached us and said, "That had to be the best dance I ever saw." It's never been, we've danced since then, it's never been able to be repeated. It was a fleeting moment, but it created for us a lasting memory. Okay. Jesus invites Peter, James, and John to come up on a mountain with him. And the transfiguration occurs, and there's Elijah, and there's Moses, and the light, and then there's the voice. "This is my beloved son, listen to him." And that's it. That was the whole experience. And so Jesus says, at the end, he says, "Okay, it's time, let's go." And they go down the mountain. Now, obviously they wanted to stay. Peter speaks up, says, "Why don't we just make three booths, three shelters, one for you, Jesus, and one for you, Elijah, one for you, Moses." And God's like, "No, this is not supposed to be a permanent thing. This isn't permanent. I want you to listen to my son. That's what's permanent." The cloud cleared away. Elijah and Moses are gone, just the disciples and Jesus. And Jesus says, "It's time to go." And so they go down. They go down the mountain, down to the nitty-gritty complexities of life, where the disciples will continue to be confused. They get confused when Jesus is arrested. They get confused when he is crucified. They get confused about an empty tomb. They're even confused after the resurrection. They are confused all the time, which gives the rest of us hope. So many times people think Christianity is all about clarity. It doesn't take faith to follow when everything is clear. It takes faith to follow when you're confused and you're not sure and you're doubting and there isn't any bright light. There's just doubt and darkness and uncertainty. Now, I hope we all have had moments where things were crystal clear to us. I hope that we've had those moments when we have felt especially close to God and moments that have enriched our lives and made changes in us, encouraged us, have lifted us up. But they're only moments, and they don't last, and they don't bring lasting clarity. we still have those times of confusion and doubt. Everybody knows the story, Mother Teresa, lifetime of service. And the only people who weren't surprised to find out in her journey, she had journaled that she had all these moments of doubt, were fellow Christians. Remember how the world reacted? Oh my gosh, Mother Teresa had doubts. It's like, hello, if you're a Christian, you're very well acquainted with doubt. You know about doubt. And it doesn't do us any good to beat ourselves up in our times of doubting and confusion. Don't add another burden saying, oh, if only my faith was stronger. If only I was a better disciple. If all, no, no. It may be true that our faith needs to be stronger. It may be true that we need to practice better discipleship. It may be that we need to be more spiritually disciplined. But that is no guarantee that we will always have clarity and never have confusion. And so why do you have these mountaintop experiences? If they're not going to last, why have them? Because they're refreshing, they're renewing, they're reaffirming. At times they can be convincing. They can bring healing. And sometimes, at least for a moment, they bring some clarity, even if it doesn't last. They bring encouragement and support and even peace of mind, however brief it is. The fleeting moment is gone, but the memory lasts. You can hold the flashlight in your hand, but you can't hold light in your hand or in your pocket. You can't store it. You can't keep it. I can remember the first time Marlena said, Dada. I can remember Andreas's first step. You ask any parent, and they will tell you such memories are precious. Now let me ask you something. Take a moment right now. Think about one of your most precious memories. One of the things that you cherish in your heart, that you treasure in your heart. I want you to just picture that moment. Now, if somebody was to offer you $1 million and say, I'll give you $1 million if we can erase that and all traces of that forever. Who's going to do that? It's priceless to us. You're not going to sell off something that you treasure in your heart, that you've cherished for all this time. It's priceless. But no matter how priceless it is, we cannot hold on to it. We can have a picture of it, but we can't recreate the moment. Why have them? If Jesus, these mountaintop experiences with Jesus, if they don't stay with us, if they don't bring permanent clarity so that we're never confused and never have doubt, because it reminds us of the passion and the glory, we may not be able to recreate it, but we can remember it. We all try to preserve these special moments in our lives, but we can't. Peter wanted to preserve that transfiguring special mountaintop experience, but glimpses like that come and go. And when it is, when it does happen, when it is given to us, whether it's on a mountaintop or in the church or at the beach, we cannot capture it, but we can cherish it. It's a gift, a glimpse, a fleeting, blessed gift of revelation. We cannot bottle love. We cannot hold light, but we can treasure them. Peter wanted to hang on a moment, capture Jesus as transfigured. But the mission was down in the valley, not on the mountain. We read this passage today and we are reminded that we have been given the light of God, the love of God, to carry within us, to sustain us, and to share with others who may be in darkness. God gives us eyes to see and a heart to share God's light and God's love, even in our times of confusion and darkness. And that's our mission, not to try to hold on to the fleeting moment, but to share the lasting memory.